listening to the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Each week, you'll hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Americans for Truth Hour will help you to stay informed and engaged on the side of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with us as we work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. And now, here's Peter LaBarbera.
Well, welcome back to the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm Pete LaBarbera, president of Americans for Truth About Homosexuality. We are a single-issue group devoted to opposing the homosexual activist lobby. It's a very powerful lobby. It's only grown in power in the last 20 years. It's now at the point, I can safely say, of pushing for the government to criminalize the expression of Christianity and other moral opposition to homosexuality. And that's a very serious development. It threatens Americans' freedom. I said on my Facebook page a little while ago that with all the talk about Sharia law, the reality is that the homosexual agenda is right now, as it's being implemented, a greater threat to freedom than Sharia law in the United States. We don't see a lot of people being fired from their jobs because of Sharia law. We do see people now being fired, people like Matt Barber, who was fired by Allstate Insurance Company for opposing homosexuality. They said it was for other reasons, but that's what it comes down to. And so the homosexual agenda has become, perhaps in this moment anyway, the greatest threat to freedom in the United States as it's being applied, because gay rights laws are incompatible with religious freedom or just moral freedom, the moral freedom to act on your opposition to behavior that you believe is immoral. And we're back in part two of our interview with Colonel Dick Black. Colonel Black is an American war hero. He served in the Virginia House of Delegates. He was a Marine. He flew 269 combat helicopter missions in Vietnam. He was also chief of the Army's Criminal Law Division from 1992 to 1994, which I believe was the time when President Clinton, another Democrat, was trying to homosexualize the military. Is that accurate, Colonel Black?
Yes, that's right, Peter. Appreciate you having me on this morning. And yes, I was there during the Clinton administration, which was really a time of high adventure. As you recall, Bill Clinton had become notorious for saying that he loathed the military, and indeed he did. As soon as he was elected, he had not actually been sworn in as president, but he went to the Vietnam Memorial Wall, and he chose that location to make his announcement that he was going to put homosexuals into the military. And I think he went there, he chose that location as a way of kind of putting a stick in the eye of every veteran, every soldier, sailor, airman, and Marine in the country.
And Colonel Black, you've talked about last week, and you can hear that interview at AmericansForTruth.org. Just click the Americans for Truth Hour button on the right side, and you can hear part one of our interview with Colonel Black. But, you know, we have another Democratic president who, like Bill Clinton, sort of surprised the nation here with his announcement, his crusade to homosexualize the military. But there's more war activity going on. It's almost more serious, and yet we see even some conservatives downplaying this compared to the national outrage that Clinton launched when he announced that policy. Do you see a big change between now and then?
Well, I think I think there is a change. I'll tell you one of the things that has happened when we last fought this battle, the evangelical churches were very strong, and they were very united on the issue, and they really were the a strong backbone of the movement. Now, the Catholic churches also were involved, but one of the big changes is that since that time, we're talking about around 1993, many of the churches have been permeated by this seeker-friendly theology, which sort of waters down the notion of right and wrong within the Christian faith. And with the emergence of the mega churches operating somewhat as corporate enterprises, there is a watering down of the message that has been harmful, because people are not being taught the scriptural values, and there's nothing perhaps more dramatically stated in scripture than the concern about homosexuality. Murder is not referred to as an abomination, but homosexuality is. So that has had a very widespread impact, because the congregations are not being instructed directly on this issue the way they should be.
Oh yeah, I'm so glad to hear you talk about it that way, and it's so rare to see a politician, even a Republican, do so, Colonel. I assume you're a born again Christian.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you, I'm a Catholic personally, and the Catholic Church had, it had its period when it went through Vatican II, which gutted much of the theological basis of the Catholic Church. There is a gradual recovery from that, although there are some very, very serious issues in that area where, obviously the crisis within the Catholic Church, the pedophile crisis, is not a pedophile crisis. It's a homosexual crisis.
Colonel, can I interrupt you there? Yes. Now that I know you're a Catholic, and I'm sorry I didn't see that in the prep for the work here, but if you want to see what can happen to any institution, just look at what happened to the Catholic Church. You couldn't write a more sinister script. Homosexuals got in. They molested teenagers, boys. Then they covered up. They were part of the cover-up. And then after the whole thing blew up, the homosexual activists now go say, oh, you can't listen to the Catholic Church, what they say about morality and about public policy, because they harbored a bunch of pedophiles. I mean, what more sinister plot can you think of than what happened to the Catholic Church with regard to homosexuality?
Well, I think that's true. If you look at the crisis within the church, it is a homosexual crisis. And after Vatican II, they began to admit men to the seminary who were not of the best moral character, and that has played out over decades now. And
is that a model for any other institution, do you believe? I mean, that's
I think absolutely. So that is probably the most prominent thing. Now, interestingly, when it's discussed in the press, you will never, ever see the word homosexual attached to any of the activities of the bad priests. So that's okay. That's one area. Another area is within the Boy Scouts, another fine institution. The Catholic Church is a fine institution. The Boy Scouts are a wonderful institution, but you see enormous pressure to have the Boy Scouts admit homosexuals as scout leaders. Now, there's considerable legal activity in the state of Oregon now, because homosexuals did get into the Boy Scout leadership ranks, and they did what you would inevitably expect that they would do. By definition, they are attracted to boys, and they did what you would expect. And so you see this over and over. You see it with the Catholic Church. You see it with the Boy Scouts. You see it with the military. The homosexuals seek out areas where there are young men that can be preyed upon, and then they use that as a means of saying, well, look what an outrage this institution is because it permits this to go on.
Yes, and they drive on with their agenda. It's so fascinating to see the reaction after the Boy Scouts won their Supreme Court decision by one vote, by the way. They came within one vote of being forced to homosexualize their institution through the admittance of open homosexuals. But after that, you didn't see the gay lobby quit, Colonel. You saw them say, hey, now we're going to press on. They moved on to demonize the Scouts, as they continue to do today. They try to demonize the Boy Scouts of America as some kind of a bigoted organization. And they have succeeded in, at least in the minds of some, in defining this organization as a prejudiced group. It's appalling.
It really is, because the Scouts, all they want to do, it's not a political organization. They just want to provide a good, wholesome environment for boys to do outdoor things, but to do it safely, where they don't have to be fearful of their leaders.
Right. We're talking to Colonel Dick Black, who's a war hero, has experience as a criminal prosecutor in the Army. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back to the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm Peter LaBarbera, president of Americans for Truth about homosexuality. Our website is americansfortruth.org. And before I get on with our interview with Colonel Dick Black, who is just a wealth of information about the homosexuals in the military issue, I want to note our banquet coming up November 13th. That's Saturday, November 13th. Our speaker is Pastor Ken Hutcherson, who is another, like Colonel Black, another truth teller, a guy out there who's willing to take the heat. Ken Hutcherson is a former NFL football player. He's a pastor out in the Seattle area, and it's going to be a wonderful night of fellowship and teaching from this great man. So that's Saturday, November 13th, our banquet. It's at Christian Liberty Academy, which is in Arlington Heights, Illinois. That's up there in the northern suburbs, Saturday, November 13th. And we're talking to Colonel Dick Black, who was chief of the Army's Criminal Law Division from 1992 to 94. He also has a wealth of experience on the battlefield. He flew 269 combat helicopter missions. He was awarded the Purple Heart, amongst other medals. Colonel, again, I thank you, as in the first interview, I thank you for your service. Can you?
Well, it's good to be with you. And as I listened to your introduction, I started off, I was an enlisted Marine. I went through Parris Island, South Carolina, and then was an aviation cadet, a pilot. I served with the infantry. I served with seven different infantry companies in Vietnam as the air officer. Was in combat with most of those companies. I served in the Army. In the Marines, I never encountered a single homosexual or person that I thought to be homosexual. In the Army, I can recall one person, a legal clerk who was just about to be discharged honorably, normally discharged, and came to light that he may possibly have been homosexual. But there are a lot of homosexuals who have no interest whatsoever in joining the military, never will. This is more of a political battering ram than anything else.
And yes, and in your paper that you wrote an excellent article in the Washington Times, and one of the things you talked about was the issue of consensual homosexuality. If the homosexual activists succeed in basically imposing a sexual orientation non-discrimination order on the military, which is their ultimate goal. You can't discriminate based on homosexuality. You're talking about propaganda that will be forced on these young men and women that supports the idea that consensual homosexuality is okay. Can you talk about what's in store if this terrible plan succeeds?
Yes, I think there was a little preview of this, and this was back when the AIDS crisis had become a big political football, and they required the Department of Defense to give instruction on AIDS. And so they went around and they had this slideshow, and it gave statistics and so forth. And they would put up a slide, and it would show the different categories of people who were HIV positive. And then they would say, you know, this clearly shows that that AIDS is not a homosexual disease or problem. But then you looked at the numbers on the screen, and they reflected precisely the opposite. I mean, it was truly a bizarre thing. It was like something out of an old Peter Sellers movie, where, you know, you look at the numbers. Okay, I get it. I understand where it comes from. It comes from HIV positive men and from people who shared blood at that time with HIV positive men and intravenous drug users who shared needles with HIV positive men, and that was essentially what it was. And then you began having some women, particularly prostitutes and so forth, who had relations with HIV positive men, and that was the essence of the.
Yeah, and yet this is the great delusion that we've gone through in our entire society, and the same thing is happening in schools all across the country, Colonel. And, you know, it's interesting that you bring that up, because we have a new CDC study which once again points to the enormous risk of men having sex with men. This is a CDC study. I think it's perhaps one of the largest studies of men who have sex with men that have ever been conducted. It's a survey of did you hear about this, Colonel, the 2008 study?
Yes, I did.
Incredible.
I read that.
Incredible stats. And let me read some of them to you. The reality is that almost one in five men who have sex with men have HIV. They surveyed, I believe, over 8,000. And the shocking thing is that 44% of the ones who discovered had HIV did not know they had HIV. Of those who were infected, I'm reading directly from the CDC report, which is at cdc.gov. Of those who were infected, 44% were unaware of their infection. Of young men who have sex with men, and that's how the CDC classifies it, MSM, age 18 to 29, 63%, let me see here, young men, 63%, I'm not reading it well here because it's written in this language. But the reality is 44% of the men who they discovered had HIV did not know it. Now, take this to the military situation, Colonel. You said last week, obviously, we'd have more HIV positive men, more homosexuality if you're welcoming homosexuals into the military. You talked about how these men are become undeployable, but would HIV positive men be still allowed into the military? Would we be facing a situation where they would say, well, you can't discriminate against HIV positive men?
Well, it's hard to say whether that might happen eventually, because, as you know, once they get a foot in the door, then it goes from there. What we do know is that presently, when a man becomes HIV positive, he cannot be sent to a war zone. So he's kept in the States. He's kept in some safe place where he's out of harm's way. And as a result, some other soldier who is not involved in the homosexual lifestyle takes his place on the battlefield, assumes the burdens of danger in battle, while he sits back and enjoys a good life without any fear of harm at all.
And I think we have to be true too about the reality of, if there are people who are engaging in practices, and we know there's greater promiscuity among this group of men who have sex with men. As we talked about in before the break, you know, homosexuals go where the men and they go where the boys are. And Colonel, I want to get your reaction to this. I've got a book here which is written by two homosexual activists. It's called The Joy of Gay Sex. And I just want to read one part here. They have a section called Sex with Straight Men. And I'm reading verbatim from the book, page 252. The writers, Dr. Charles Silverstein and Felice Picano, write, "It's not unusual for gay men just coming out to fall in love with straight men." He goes on to say that falling in love with straight men is a phase and part of the process of coming out. Later, they say, they become infatuated with those men as symbols of masculinity and attempt to seduce them into situations. Of course, that would be sexual situations. And later they go on, straight men are attracted to women. If sex does occur between, sex rarely occurs for an obvious reason. Straight men are attracted to women. If sex does occur between the two men, it's usually because the straight man is drunk or high, and reciprocity is not expected. Now, we're talking about, we know that there's lots of gay military porn out there, men who get turned on by guys in uniform. I mean, this just adds another element. You're bringing them into an environment. You're having them in a situation where they're going to be around straight men, and sometimes in situations that are very, you know, where there's nudity and such. It's just not healthy for the military.
No, and you know, this is a significant criminal problem for the armed forces, even without homosexuals being permitted in the military. I discussed the last time that we spoke the study that we did back in 1993 regarding 102 serious court-martial cases just within the Army. This was over a period of 4 years. And out of those, 22 of the victims were asleep in their bunks when they were assaulted. I recall one instance where there was a homosexual drill instructor, and he ordered a recruit up to his room, and then immediately tried to rape the recruit. The recruit fled into the bathroom where there was a window, and he began yelling out the window for help, and other trainees ran to his assistance, and when they got up to the room, this drill instructor was literally pulling off the clothing of the recruit who was struggling to get out the window and escape from him. So there are some very dramatic instances. You know, here you have if ever there was an authority figure, it's a drill instructor in boot camp, and when you have a situation where he becomes so aggressive that trainees have to subdue him, you know you've got a severe problem.
And we're going to have more of those problems if we admit open homosexuals into the military. We're talking to Colonel Dick Black, who is perhaps one of the best qualified to talk on this issue. We'll be right back after the break.
Are you sick and tired of homosexuality and gay marriage being celebrated by the liberal media and popular culture? Do you worry about the radical gay agenda being pushed on young children in schools? Are you worried that the gay movement will destroy America's religious freedoms? And are you offended that Christians are called bigots and homophobes just because they agree with God that homosexual behavior is wrong? Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is a single-issue group devoted to exposing and fighting the gay agenda. They are not about hate, but love for God's truth. They are Christians, so instead of celebrating homosexuality, they lift up the many ex-gays who have left it behind and now lead godly lives through Christ. But Americans for Truth needs your help. The gay lobby has lots of money, power, and media support, but it lacks truth. Please help keep this show on the air and educate America about the dangerous goals of this anti-Christian movement. Make your tax-deductible gift online today at AmericansForTruth.com. That's AmericansForTruth.com.
Welcome back to the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm Peter LaBarbera of Americans for Truth About Homosexuality. Our website is AmericansForTruth.org. You can get all back interviews. They're archived. They're easy to listen to at AmericansForTruth.org. Just click the button on the right side, Americans for Truth Hour. Also, you can order tapes from our Americans for Truth Academy, which occurred in August. It was perhaps one of the most thorough seminars on the homosexual agenda that's ever been conducted anywhere in the world, a three-day seminar with some excellent speakers. I highly recommend the CDs are available for $119. The DVDs are not yet available. They will be $179. But just click the Americans for Truth Academy button on the right side. And lastly, our banquet Saturday, November 13th with Pastor Ken Hutcherson. Should be an exciting time. Saturday, November 13th at the Christian Liberty Academy in Arlington Heights. Sign up for that. It's $50 now. It'll be $75 the week before. So you can get a discount if you sign up now. Colonel Black, I want to read from your article, Why We Must Keep the Gay Ban, earlier that you wrote in the Washington Times, April 4th of this year. You said, you wrote, to be certain, gays weren't the only soldiers committing crimes, but the administration's proposals would have placed homosexuals in situations of forced intimacy where same-sex attractions invite serious trouble. Activists claim the risk of crimes from same-sex offenders is no greater than it is between servicemen and women, but they are wrong. Women are not required to sleep and shower under the watchful eyes of men. So comment on that. I mean, that's a logical flaw in their argument, comparing it to women and men.
There's a tremendous difference. Often you'll hear the homosexuals claim that this is sure we've got problems, problems of assaults by homosexuals, but we also have problems of assaults with heterosexuals. But the difference is that we don't put them in inviting situations where we make it easier for heterosexuals to assault a woman. What we would be forced to do, and there is no alternative, is with homosexuals, they would be in the same showers and in the same sleeping quarters with men. In the battlefield, they would be in the same foxholes with men. People sometimes say, well, in Vietnam, did you stay here or did you stay there? I stayed out in the jungles. That's for a year I spent out there. I saw a normal flush toilet one time during the time that I was in Vietnam, one day. So the idea that somehow we can shelter people and so forth can't be done, and it won't be done. And so we're placing the homosexuals in a situation where they can take advantage of others, and we're inviting the sexual bullying of those who are smaller, who are less aggressive. And it will be a considerable problem. It will be a great problem that will impact discipline and morale enormously.
Yeah, and Colonel, you haven't talked about lesbians yet, but I think in your article you refer to a case of an overly aggressive boot camp instructor. Was that a lesbian situation?
Yes, after Bill Clinton had implemented regulatory changes that they were the don't ask, don't tell aspect. Now, they were contrary to the legislative intent of Congress, but he still changed the regulations. And one of the commanding generals at Parris Island, South Carolina, reported that they had a problem with a lesbian drill instructor who would leer at the naked women in the showers, and there was really nothing he could do because she would just sort of go right up to the line, it made all of the women quite uncomfortable. But there was nothing that he could do because of the attitude of the Clinton administration towards homosexuality and giving it a sort of a preferred status. I've also heard this from a very dear friend, former delegate Winsome Sears, who was in the Virginia House of Delegates and a wonderful, wonderful conservative. She had been a Marine, and she had encountered these problems with fellow women Marines who were lesbians, and it was very disruptive.
As Colonel, let me play devil's advocate for a second. What do you say to the case of where you have somebody who was not being aggressive, and it was discovered that they were lesbian, and of course you always have the most hard to argue cases. You know, you have the case of a woman, say she was just she was revealed to be a lesbian, but she hadn't engaged in any of these appropriate behaviors. And often the cases that will get in the media will be the person who had a stellar record otherwise. What do you say to people who say, well, why can't that person serve?
Well, you have got to draw bright lines. You cannot have a disciplined military force where every one of hundreds of thousands of people has to be weighed carefully on a scales. We have weight standards, for example. Now, there are some people who are very heavy for their size and frame. And we could go through and we could analyze each person's ability, but we don't. We have to have certain standards, and we are able to recruit and mobilize large numbers of people and do it quickly. The problem is that now, undoubtedly, you know, there are a few people who fall in the category that you mentioned. My guess is that that nobody is bothering them, frankly. But at the same time, we've got to have clear standards because you just can't get involved in weighing every individual case like that.
Right. And we also have the effect, the larger effect on if we were to come to the point where the military would be engaged in pro-homosexuality, quote, diversity lectures, what would happen to the chaplains, Colonel? The chaplains who preach the biblical truth that homosexuality is a sin against God, what would happen to them?
You know, it's an interesting thing. If you look at the Bill of Rights in the United States Constitution, the very First Amendment, the First Amendment to the Bill of Rights to the Constitution, spoke of two things. It spoke of religious freedom, and then it spoke of verbal freedom, freedom of expression. It was clear that the founders of this nation recognized that it could not exist unless people could freely practice their religion and do it without any government interference. Now, that's been flipped on its head over the years, as you know. But one of the things that the homosexual movement understands is that Christianity and, frankly, Islam and Judaism, all of them, when you get down to their essence, they are totally at odds with sodomy. It's impermissible. It's condemned in very harsh terms by all of the major religions. Now, you already are seeing all over the country pressure on on Christians, particularly, to avoid praying in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, all sorts of pressures are being brought on religious freedom. I think part of this is driven by the homosexual agenda, because they recognize that so long as people understand that in the eyes of God, this is unacceptable behavior, then they will have a problem.
Do you think that they will be driven out? What's a chaplain to do if somebody says, well, this chaplain told me that homosexuality was wrong? That's discrimination.
Well, I think there's no question in my mind that whatever they say in the short run, in the long run, they will control what chaplains are permitted to say from the pulpit. There is simply no doubt about that. A chaplain will be forbidden from discussing homosexuality in scriptural terms. They'll be permitted to talk about love and forgiveness and all of this, but they will not be able to talk about the biblical prescription on sodomy.
Which is just a terrible, terrible prospect for our military. You know, having the gay thought police come in and run the military is quite a frightening thought.
It really is. It is in the nature of the way things are done these days that when you have a major political shift, such as gays in the military would represent, that you will have indoctrination, and you will have required courses where soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines will be indoctrinated to accept homosexuality.
Okay,
now,
Colonel, let me cut you off right there, or
yes.
Come back after the break.
Okay.
Welcome back to the Americans for Truth Hour. We're in the last segment of part two of our interview with Colonel Dick Black, who's a great American who's done some wonderful things, including serving his country, putting his life on the line. He received the Purple Heart Medal. Is that the highest award a person in the service can receive, Colonel?
Well, no, it's not. But the Purple Heart is given for wounds received in combat or for being killed in combat.
And you received other awards as well, and including the presidential. What's the highest award you received, Colonel?
Well, the Legion of Merit. Those are received for serving in exceptionally sensitive and high positions, and for performing exceptionally in those positions.
Now, Colonel, you have great experience in all areas of the military, and you are qualified to speak on this issue of homosexuals in the military. Talk about the conservative movement. You spoke to the churches. We have seen several high-profile conservative leaders either take the opposite side on Don't Ask, Don't Tell, or basically ignore it as a major issue. We would have had much greater action legislatively, a much greater interest on Capitol Hill, had some major conservatives like Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity done more on this issue. What is going on as you look at the landscape with conservatives?
Well, I think there is a mindset within the conservative movement that that we can have a great nation without having a nation that is governed by moral values. In other words, it's not that these are immoral people, but they simply think that that morality is just not worth fighting over. We'll sort of leave that to the Democrats, and it sort of presumes that somehow the situation will be static. In other words, we'll just, you know, if we don't debate about it, then the other side will leave it alone. We'll just sort of stay where we are. There's no evidence to support that. I think unless you resist the decay of morality in the country, it will continue to go on.
Right, and the other side doesn't stop. They press on with their agenda aggressively and boldly.
They do. And this all started within the Democratic Party back in 1968, where you had the riots at the Democratic National Convention. And I think coming out of that, there was sort of a consensus among the Democrats that those who were interested in social issues would control the agenda for the Democratic Party, and then those who were interested in fiscal issues would control in their realm. So they came up with a very clear understanding. There's never been an equivalent event within the Republican Party, and so you have this constant shift back and forth.
But you do battle with the libertarians there in the Republican Party, a strong push by the libertarians to say, let's just jettison the social issues. Let's focus on the money issues and the government spending issues alone.
This is true. You know, interestingly, many of the Republican leaders have never served in the military. They have no military experience whatsoever. And so they'll simply dismiss the concerns of 1,160 generals and admirals and side with the five or six or maybe a dozen liberals on the other side. And they'll say, oh, well, those 1,000 generals and admirals, they don't know anything about the military. I know about the military because I'm a TV commentator.
Right. Well, Colonel, let me interrupt.
What is that?
Yeah, you know, it's and they're not understanding what's going to happen. Now, we've got 4.5 minutes left. You made a very serious observation last week that the study that's being conducted by Secretary Gates, who's now said he's going to resign, is designed to implement a political agenda. And you also said that they're sort of downplaying any negative factors like the sexual assaults you're talking about. What do we do when the military comes out with this whitewashed report in early December, and which is obviously going to clear the way for homosexualizing the military? How do we respond? What do you expect to do?
Well, I think the first thing is we need to make clear to people that this report was a political document from the outset. People in the military have been told that you better watch out, you better watch what you say, you better watch any public comments you make, because it's going to affect your career. So this report has no credibility whatsoever. It never asked the question, should we do this or shouldn't we do it? It simply says, okay, how should we do it? How should we implement this disastrous policy which will undermine morale and discipline within the military?
That's incredible that they would call that a study when it doesn't ask if we should do it. Can Republicans lead a charge or conservative Democrats and say this report is not really valid?
You know, I tell you, I would shout for joy if there were enough conservative Democrats to lead a charge on anything. God bless them. If there are one or two out there, I haven't found them, but maybe they are there somewhere. But
Colonel, let me ask you. Your experience. You're a politician as well as a military man. What is the likelihood of Republicans standing tall on this issue? And we saw John McCain lead the charge, and it was tremendous. But we know that the push to repeal the homosexual ban will continue. What do you expect to happen?
Well, I think the dangerous time for us is the lame duck session. It looks like the Democrats have been so radical. They really have been toying with Marxist policies. This has frightened a lot of people, and I think we're going to see a house cleaning in November. The problem that we've got is we then have a lame duck session, and there'll be a lot of pressure from the gay lobby to enact radical legislation, and to have these Democrats cast votes for radical ideas before they leave office. I think we're just going to have to bring as much pressure as we can to bear. We've got fine organizations like yours, like Family Research Council, like Center for Military Readiness. And I think they will just have to keep up the pressure and do everything possible to prevent lame duck session legislation from getting through before the new Congress is sworn in.
Absolutely. Now, let me give you 20 seconds to say something about the morality issue at stake here. This is not just political, Colonel.
I don't know of a good example of a nation that has survived without a moral framework. I'm not talking about individuals doing things that are immoral. I'm talking about a nation that sets its standards and establishes amoral or immoral standards. I don't know of one that has survived over time.
Well,
and
we'll
I don't
have to
think
leave it
ours will either.
Well, we'll leave it at that, Colonel. Thank you so much for this interview. And I've learned a lot, and I assume our listeners have as well. You've been listening to Colonel Dick Black. This is the Americans for Truth Hour. Go out and stand for truth like the other side does. Our website is americansfortruth.org.
This was the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Tune in Saturdays at 11 p.m. to hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war, people who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Stay informed and engaged on the issues of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with them as they work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. The Americans for Truth Hour, Saturdays at 11 p.m. on AM 1160.